Iowa is kind of an interesting place. I mean, Illinois is definitely interesting too, but you get two sides of the coin when you look at the different sides of the Mississippi. You get some older deposits in Iowa, and included in some of those older deposits are species that probably were in Illinois. We just don't have that record preserved. And so, yeah, we've got very old camels, very old wolves. These are the precursors to some of the terminal ice age species. So we certainly had camels here, but we don't have, for instance, we don't have an official record for camels in Illinois. The ones that we're seeing in Iowa from a particular site on the Missouri River are giant camels. So they're an extinct species that probably went extinct about 2 million years ago.
So for two states that are somewhat intertwined, today when we think of the two states, both Midwestern states, both farming states, they don't seem that different. Are they that much different when it comes to the geology and archaeology that's being discovered there?
It's really a difference more in gradation than in, they have a very different record than ours. As you hit Western Iowa, Central and Western Iowa, you start picking up some much older deposits, and so therefore you get a different kind of paleontology. They share a very similar glacial history in that both states had big glacial lobes that came down fairly late. In Illinois, it was about 18,000, 20,000 years ago that we had a big glacial lobe come down to about Bloomington. In Iowa, it was a little bit later, about 13 or 14,000 years ago, you had the Des Moines lobe come straight down through the middle of the state. But in Western Iowa, you start picking up some older deposits, and that's where you get some of these weird taxa, like giant camels, like there are some strange muskoxen and other things out there that we just don't see here.
This lecture is going to discuss some of the more recent discoveries there. Did we know a lot of these types of species existed and were in Iowa, or is this something that is a more recent find?
A lot of these things were literally pulled out of the ground decades or sometimes even 100 years ago, but they weren't very well described. And so, they've been curated in museums ever since, and it just takes someone with an interest to come along and say, gee, I wonder what this is, and to chase it down. My work in Iowa really goes back to my time before I came to the Illinois State Museum and my dissertation research in Western Iowa. And so I became familiar with a lot of these collections at that time. And then we've continued to kind of also explore other areas too. And there's always something new and different. There's lots of bison, there's lots of mammoths, there's lots of mastodons. Those are the kinds of species that seem to be fairly common and widespread. But then for every 10 or 15 of those sites, you might have a site that has a dire wolf, or you might have a site that has a camel or something like that. And so you can kind of start piecing these together just by sheer volume.
So some of this material has been out there, but maybe we just didn't understand how it fit.
Exactly.
When it comes to the history of Illinois and Iowa and the paleontology that goes back, the history of that, there is some connections there, though, with when it comes to who's been doing the work. People who go back long before you work together in these two states.
Absolutely. In fact, our the founder of the Illinois State Museum, Amos Henry Worthen, he is from Illinois, from the Warsaw area, and started out his geological career working for the Illinois Geological Survey in 1855, and then became the state geologist for the state of Iowa for a few years before coming back to Illinois and completing the Illinois Geological Survey. And then through the years, we've had curators and geologists who have either come to us from the University of Iowa, or they've been from the state of Iowa, or some links, and so it's definitely a diffuse border when it comes to geology.
Has that created any problems? Oftentimes, when people are working together, they're can be some jealousies. There can be some other questions raised about, you know, who has the parochial rights to something. Has that created those issues?
For the most part, it hasn't. The real reason with in this particular case, I think, is that it's been a small community. And so there are specialists in small mammals, small rodents and things like that that may be at the University of Iowa, whereas we may specialize in mammoths or mastodons or large animals and things like that. So for the most part, the community is small enough and the specialties are special enough that there's plenty of specimens and plenty of sites to go around, and we all kind of work together to make the most sense out of them.
You're going to be making the presentation at the Illinois State Museum Wednesday night, but give us an idea of what else people will see there regarding this presentation. Will you have actual any fossils, things of that sort that people can look at?
Yes, we have some of the things that I'll be talking about have been donated to the museum, or we have them on loan from smaller museums that are in Iowa because we're currently working on them. So there will be some real fossils there. And there will be.
And where does this research go from here? I mean, I know that you're never done when it comes to this type of work.
Well, for every question you ask, you have another dozen questions that you want to ask after you get the answer. And so a lot of these, basically the talk is going to cover, four or five different kind of parallel projects that are going on right now, some of which started a long time ago, some of which have just recently started. A lot of them have local collaborators in Iowa. For instance, I'm working with an archaeologist at Iowa State and some paleontologists at the University of Iowa on different projects. And a lot of that just is the basic logistics of doing work in a place that you don't live. And so a lot of this will be published in kind of the scientific literature. And we'll also be able to kind of piece it together to better understand the paleontological record of the Midwest. And then that gets kind of distributed through more public avenues like our website and ultimately maybe someday a paleontology of the Midwest or something like that, some sort of public book.